Speaking of who I would vote for, I do have a candidate that were this person to run, I would definitely vote for them. I would want them to be my presidente. And that would be Megyn Kelly of Fox News. Yes. Oh, yes. In fact, I have a new argument for atheists. You know, I don't argue with atheists anymore, because if you're not going to acknowledge the scripture as a form of revelation, as the number one form of revelation, forget it. So my technique in the past for atheists has been to hand them a blade of grass and say, this is my only argument for you, that there is a God here. I hand them a blade of grass, and if they don't get it, then they don't get it. If you can look at the blade of grass and not realize there's a God, I don't know what. But now I have a better argument. For the atheist, go watch Megyn Kelly on Fox News. If you can watch 2 minutes of Megyn Kelly and not realize there is a God, then there is no hope for you. Watch the sparkle of her eyes while the person she's interviewing is talking. Watch the way her lip curls up when she questions an interviewee. Watch the way her eyebrows furrow. Oh, there are so many things I would have you watch with Megyn Kelly. But there is your evidence that there is a God. Now, folks, we are going to go back to this article, and I'm going to talk about the seven mountains of dominionism. And then Monday, I'm going to get this over with today, because Monday then, back to the book of Revelation proper, verse by verse. That's right. I know we're wobbling here. What's going on here? We're on shaky ground. All right, let me fix things up a little bit. Is that helping any? Not really. Okay. All right, watch this. I left off with you on Ted Cruz being an evangelical warrior. Remember, New York Times columnist David Brooks described what he does, what Ted does, as political brutalism, with a belief that he's engaged in a fight with the devil for the soul of the nation. And here's where I stopped. It is only a matter of time. I think I stopped right there. It is only a matter of time. And then I went off on a tangent. Let me finish that sentence. Before Cruz assumes the role of the Old Testament prophet Elijah and tries to cast down fire from heaven to destroy the prophets of Baal who oppose his campaign. Now, this may very well be hyperbole, and I think it is. This article is written by John Fea, F-E-A, and this is at religionnews.com. The name of the article, again, Ted Cruz's campaign is fueled by a dominionist vision for America. Again, an unwieldy title, if ever there was one. And even if Ted Cruz is a Old Testament type of prophet, it will not be announced as such. It will never be announced as such. The writer here, John Fea, goes into detail. When Cruz says he wants to reclaim or restore America, he does not only have the Obama administration in mind. This agenda takes him much deeper into the American past. Cruz wants to restore the United States to what he believes is its original identity, that is, a Christian nation. This is under the misassumption that the founding fathers were Christians. Back to the article. But before he can bring the country back to its Christian roots, Cruz needs to prove that Christian ideals were indeed important to the American founding. And I believe they were. But look at this. This is why he has David Barton on his side. Here's that connection again. For several decades, Barton has been a GOP activist. We know this. With a political mission to take the United States a Christian nation again, to make it a Christian nation again. He runs Keep the Promise, a multi-million-dollar Cruz super PAC. He's one of Cruz's most trusted advisors. Barton is the founder and president of Wall Builders. We know that. And he tells anyone who will listen that America was once a Christian nation and needs to be one again. And again, they're striving for the wrong thing. Because even if it was a Christian nation, this country, I don't want it to go back to being something ridiculous. As if the founding fathers believed in the salvation of all, or the sovereignty of God, or correctly cut the scriptures, distinguish between Paul's gospel and that of the gospel of the circumcision. Come on, we know that's not true. So they're working hard, praying, doing all these things, raising millions and millions of dollars to restore the country to something bad, to something that is a false religion to begin with. But his work on the American, okay, this goes into how David Barton has written a book that has been discredited. Back to Cruz. Cruz wants Americans to believe the country has fallen away from its spiritual founding, and he, with God's help, is the man who could bring it back. And that's what you saw Glenn Beck being prayed over for, to be one of the men to help Ted Cruz do this. Anyone who has watched Cruz on the stump knows that he often references the important role that his father, traveling evangelist Rafael Cruz, has played in his life. During a 2012 sermon at New Beginnings Church, we talked about this in Bedford, Texas, Rafael described his son's political campaign as a direct fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Been here. But aren't you glad this is going to be over on Monday? Aren't you glad about this? Yes. According to his father, Ted Cruz is anointed by God to help Christians in their efforts to go to the marketplace, occupy the land, and take dominion, unquote. This end-time transfer of wealth, and again, that's what they call it, will relieve Christians of all financial woes, allowing true believers to ascend to a position of political and cultural power in which they can build a Christian civilization. This is interesting. Listen to this. This is something new. When the Christian nation is in place or back in place, Jesus will return. This is so close to what the radical Islamists are trying to do to bring back their Messiah, the 12th Imam. They're trying, but they're doing the opposite. They're trying to create chaos because they think that by creating chaos, they will hurry along their Messiah, who will, of course, restore the whole world to its Islamic roots. Now, that's what they're saying. That's not me, obviously. So now the Christians have their version of this, that somehow they are going to hurry Jesus' return. Now, you and I, we're just waiting. Paul says we're waiting. We're waiting. And in a sense, we're actively waiting, but we're heralding the evangel, an evangel that's 2,000 years old. We're not heralding the evangel of America that is only just over 200 years old. And we're certainly, if we were doing it, we wouldn't base it on a false premise, namely that the founding of this nation was Christian. It really wasn't. It had some Christian stuff in it, and God we trust, that's great. The maker, the creator, all these general terms for God, not much Jesus Christ in there, but even if there was, I would not be impressed. Unless Megyn Kelly was telling me about it, then I'd be gone. I'd be lost. But I'm not impressed sorry. I'll get back from being distracted here. If it was a Christian nation, no way we want to go back there anyway. Rafael Cruz, they preach a brand of evangelical theology called Seven Mountains Dominionism. I want to squeeze this in here before the end of this show. They believe Christians must take dominion over seven aspects of culture. Going to get into this. The name of the movement, where do you hear this? Comes from Isaiah 2:2. Quote, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. Unquote. Is that a stretch? That's a worse stretch, it really is, than taking the word dominionism from the verse in Genesis chapter 1 where God gave Adam, that is humanity, dominion over the earth. And I think he meant Christians, so we're going to take that to ourselves personally. So, on top of the mountains, well, for one thing, Mount Zion is a literal mountain, so the Lord's house will be established on top of the mountains. Maybe there's a couple mountains there, I don't know. Maybe other places on the earth, God will establish his kingdom, but this is something. God will put temples, I don't know, subdivisions of the kingdom on various high places. You remember Israel, back in the day, spoiled the high places. That they took these high places, wonderful mountains, where God has been known to do great things. Jesus did great things on mountains, and they sacrificed two idols on those mountains. They burned their children to Moloch on those mountains. They called them the high places because I guess, and it's true actually, people think they're closer to God. Well, no, they're not closer to God on a mountain, but they're closer to heaven. It's just a fact. Heaven's up there. I told you that. Martin's such a cute little teacher. He teaches that heaven is up Dale. Well, it is up Dale. And do not make fun of me about that. Because this is earth. Heaven's up Dale. Okay. Seven Mountains Dominionism is the spiritual fuel that motors Cruz's campaign for president. That was a damn good sentence. I'm surprised that the guy, John Fay, who wrote that sentence, wrote the title of this article, which contains about 27 words, which is 22 words too many. Maybe he didn't. Maybe one of the editors did it. Goes on about Cruz. I want to get through this because I got to hit the Seven Mountains of Dominionism. Oh, Cruz's constant complaints about the liberal media also reflect this Dominionist battle. The media are controlled by the forces of evil, so say Cruz. The media must be taken over by Christians. Of course it should be. Everything needs to be taken over by Christians. Cruz's approach to politics is inseparable from his theology. Yeah, church and state, church and state. But this is the close of the article. He's also a good politician. He knows the theological affirmations of his father might be too much for some Americans to swallow. He does not use the term Dominionism or Seven Mountains when he is campaigning, but it is also worth noting that he has never publicly rejected these beliefs. Why would he? His father is on record. All you have to do is search YouTube, Rafael Cruz. You will see this. And Ted has called his father his hero. Last sentence here, Cruz's campaign may be less about the White House and more about the white horses that will usher in God's kingdom in the New Testament book of Revelation. Oh, that's really interesting, the white horses. White House, white horse, very interesting indeed. And we know that the first white horse is a false white horse that promises to bring peace. And I would not be surprised if Ted Cruz is a part of this or the whole of it. Now I look that I have a few precious minutes left on the show. I may have to finish this up on Monday. I'm going to start on the Seven Mountains of Dominionism because that's what I do. I give it to you as I see it. And David Barton advocates Seven Mountains Dominionism. This is on the website rightwingwatch.org. This article was by Kyle something that starts with an M. As we have been noting for nearly a year now, a theology known as Seven Mountains has been slowly creeping its way into mainstream religious right activism. This is what I told you yesterday. I said that this stuff does not happen like kaboom, ba ba boom. It happens slowly. It creeps into. And this really, this false idea that the founders were Christian gives these people an excuse to restore the nation. It's like, hey, folks, we're not coming up with anything new. And it's true that the founders were more apt to give you a quip or a quote about God. And people today want to drive that just the name of God. So the founders had a sense of the greatness of the deity, I believe. They were not Christian, I do not believe. Some of them were, I don't know. I have not analyzed each of the founders individually, or corporately for that matter. So, but I do know that these guys were not dyed-in-the-wool Christians. And there's no Baptists on board there, no Pentecostals. Not to mention that there were no Pentecostals before 1900. Isn't that interesting? Did you realize that? No Pentecostals. And they certainly were not Seventh-day Adventists, or were they? I don't know. Could have been some of that in there. But in any case, these men were smart enough to not incorporate their religious beliefs or insist upon their religious beliefs, or worse, to write their religious beliefs into the Constitution. In fact, they strained to separate religion from the running of the government. And of course, that doesn't stop people who think that Christianity is the greatest thing and that because it's the one true religion, that it should be at the head and not the tail of the government. But as I have noted on this series, Christianity is destined to be destroyed. Christianity is going to be wiped from the face of the earth. So why should we champion? Why should we applaud people whose design it is to accelerate a Christian nation, to use whatever means they can, money for the love of God? Their kingdom is going to be bought with money. It's going to be bought by an election, by fallible human beings. They're using this to bring Christianity, something that's going to be destroyed, to our planet. Reject it. I reject it with every fiber of my being. Unless, of course, Megyn Kelly told me about it.